James chapter 5. In this final chapter, James gives a warning. First of all, he gives a warning to the unbelievers who were resting on their wealth, who were trusting in their works in view of the impending judgment. And this is from verses 1 to 6. Then James followed with a word of comfort to the saints, to the people of God, to the believers, to wait patiently for Christ's return, in verse 7 to 11. Let us not forget that the book of James is written to the Christians who were scattered abroad and who were undergoing or were undergoing great affliction and persecution at that time. And so now James, in this final chapter, gives them a word of encouragement. And so in this last section, he calls for the true care of the soul among the believers and highlight the value of prayers in verses 12 to 20. I would like to consider with you this morning the subject, an encouragement to patience. An encouragement to patience. Verse 7 reads, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." And so James is writing to the Christian, not to the unbelievers. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Before I go into the main text, I just want to highlight verse 16, which perhaps is misunderstood by many. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another." Confess your faults one to another is not asking the Christian going round and looking out to each other and confess your sin publicly to each other, which some of these liberal churches has been preaching, and then they say, oh, just go around in the public and, like, you know, in the public to do that. No, here it is not referring to that. Not all sins, but those things whereby we have injured or wronged each other, go to the person to apologize and seek for forgiveness, not in a public manner. Not as in coming before a congregation and to publicly confess. But whoever we have wronged, let us be quick in humility to go to that person to apologize and to seek for forgiveness. I just want to highlight that because it suddenly dawns on me as I read the text that this has been the teaching of many of these false gospel preachers. And so now we want to look at verse 7 to 8. And our subject here involves about three or four questions, but I have only time to just cover perhaps three. And firstly is this. The first question, how does the husbandman, of course you know the word husbandman is a no English, it means the farmer. How does the farmer wait? And then what does the farmer wait for? And thirdly, what is his encouragement for waiting? And then fourthly, the fourth question we may have, what are the benefits of his patient waiting? Our experience as Christian believers is similar to that of a farmer. As Christian believers, we are farmers, or like farmers, so that we have to work hard, to toil hard, to labor, and we have to wait long. And then the hope that cheers us, the hope that encourages us, is the fruit that blossom or grow. And then finally, the profit of that struggle of faith and fear, incident to waiting, will all crop up in our pilgrimage here as Christian believers in this sin-cursed world. First then, how does the farmer wait? And the farmer here, referred or brought up by James, is for our example, for our imitation. Well, he first waits with a reasonable hope for the precious fruits of the land. And he has long patience until he receives the early and the latter rain, as we see in verse 7. He expects the harvest. It's reasonable for him to expect a harvest as he plants as a farmer, because he has plowed the field and sowed the seed. If he had not, then this will not be an example for our imitation as our model. The husbandman waits with a reasonable hope. He does not expect to harvest grain when he has sowed fig or mustard seed. So it is for us too. We would like the farmer with reasonable hope, as we see in Scripture, as God reveals His word to us and given us the promises and warns us of His coming, of the coming judgment. So with reasonable hope, we expect also to reap only the fruit of our own sowing. As the saying goes, we reap what we sow. And so if we reap fruits of righteousness, then we shall indeed, or rather if we sow seeds of righteousness, we shall reap the fruits of righteousness. Next, beside waiting with a patient, reasonable hope, he is in no doubt all the more patient. Why? Because his hope is so reasonable. And not only does he wait with patience, but some stress is put upon the length of it, so-called the length of patience. Look at verse 7. And had long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, brethren in Christ, our waiting while we are here, we are only here as sojourners, pilgrims. This is not our final destination. This is not our final home. If it be the work of the Holy Spirit for those of us in Christ, if it be the work of the Holy Spirit, it must have this long patience in it. So I ask, are you afflicted? Are you troubled? Are you a sufferer? If you are, brethren, here is an encouragement to you. Just as James, as I said, wrote to the brethren, to the Christians, scattered abroad in a foreign land, and suffered, afflicted, persecuted. And so we as Christian believers in our pilgrimage here, we do suffer. We do suffer for our faith, indeed. We do suffer loss. And so this is an encouragement to us. If you are suffering, afflicted, there are sweet fruits to come from that suffering that you are going through, or from that affliction that you are going through. Yes, the suffering itself is of no good to us, but think of the fruit, or the end result, or the byproduct, if you like. Now, we are told, now no chastening for the present seemeth it to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby.
Therefore, let us have long patience for those peaceable fruits. Let us learn to cultivate that fruit. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit will cultivate in our hearts, will work this in our hearts day by day as we seek the Lord's help, as we look into His Word, as we pray, and as we pray for one another and fellowship with one another to support and to encourage one another. Let us have long patience for those peaceable fruits. And it is not going to be easy, particularly for some people who are very impatient, like myself. We need a lot, and there are people who are absolutely long-suffering. And we thank God, and you should thank God for that grace that He has given to you. But for those of us who have great trouble to be patient, let us not give up, but let us seek the Lord's help. And you shall be brought out of your trouble. Deliverance will be found for you out of your affliction, out of your suffering. When the discipline for which you were brought into has been fulfilled. That is the fruit of our suffering. Let us seek the Holy Spirit help to cultivate the fruit of long patience. Wait, I say to you. Wait, I say to myself. Remain or tarry for a little longer. Don't be impatient. We are there. We are near the finishing line. We can see it. And therefore, be patient. Patiently go on in your race. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will finally arrive to be with the Lord. Remain for long, for if the vision tarry, it shall come. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot in the end of the days. Daniel chapter 5, I think, 12 to 13. And before long, you shall have a happy and a blessed exit out of your current crisis. And then a word for those who are laboring for the Lord, those who are serving the Lord in the Lord's vineyard. Are you laboring in the Lord's service? Whether as Sunday school teachers, preachers, pastors, ministers, elders, deacons, then you need as much patience in working as you do in suffering. We must not expect to see immediate results in all cases from the preaching of the gospel. When you share the gospel with the unbelievers, we must not expect immediate results. They may spit at you, turn against you, scold you, throw away the tract that you give to them right in front of your face. They may reject you. And every other kind of spiritual effort that you engage in bringing the gospel to the unbelievers, we must not expect to see immediate results. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. He has the prerogative. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We do our part. God will do His part in His time. Not according to our schedule. Immediate results may not come. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they greatly cheer us, the servants of the Lord. But it is given to some to wait long. Like the husbandman, before the fruit reaches maturity. Truth, like the grain of mustard seed, does not grow into a tree tomorrow, being sowed today. Don't expect that. It takes its leisure. Or like the leaven, it does not work in the next moment, does it? It must have its time. If you have some principle to teach, some spiritual lessons to teach, whether to the children or to the adults, to teach that is unpleasant, rejected by the hearers. Don't give up. Go on sharing. Go on sharing. Go on bringing the gospel. Go on to give your gospel tract to the unbelievers. Don't give up. Perhaps you may never see it popular in your day, your teaching of the truth of God. Truth is mighty and it will prevail, though it may have a hard fight before it wins the victory. Souls may not be won to Christ the first time you pray for them, nor the first time you exhort them, nor the 20th time or the 50th time. If you have gone to a sinner once to share the gospel and he or she has rejected you, go again 7 times. No, go again 70 times 7 times. For if you should at last, as you persevere, as you go on, you should at last succeed by the Holy Spirit, the Master's gracious help. It will repay you well. The little patience that you had to exert for a while will soon seem as nothing, like the travail of the mother when the child is born into the world. Therefore, wait with a sweet grace as one who guards the faith and sets an example of humility. Wait in a right spirit. Wait anxiously. In the right anxious spirit, I mean. Wait prayerfully. Wait with earnest expectation. Earnest, submissive to the ways of God, not doubtful of His will. As disciples of Christ, let us learn to labor and to wait. Next, observe what the husbandman did while waiting. You see in the text that he waits with his eye upward. He waits until God sent him the early and latter rain. And so that gives us the picture of him waiting, looking heavenward. He has enough knowledge as a farmer, as an experienced farmer. Even if he be a worldly man, he knows that the harvest depends not only on the seed he sows and on the soil he cultivates, but upon the rain, which he cannot control. The rain that comes at the command of the Almighty God of heaven. I recall, as I was preparing this and writing this point concerning rain, I recall many, many years ago when I was a young man, fresh out from the army, I was still in the army. In Singapore, we have to do that. And I was in this unit, which is most relaxing. My job is to do drawing. I was a draftsman. And so in my youthful, being a young Christian, you know, we want to share Christ, and I was speaking to one of my colleagues. She is a full-time staff, not like me doing my NS in this department. This department that I was serving, my national service, is taking care of all the military facilities in Singapore. And we go around updating the drawings and this and that. And so I spoke to her about Christ. And she said that, something to that effect, not the exact word. Do we really need God? After all, we men are so brilliant. And how brilliant? She says that we are able to make rain, you know. Well, of course, being young and I have not read widely, what is that? Man-made rain? I mean, in Singapore, we are living in a city. We won't make rain. Then I later on realized she is talking about harvesting rain. And many of these countries in China, in some of these places where they have very dry weather, and they do things, the farmer especially, they do
rain harvesting. There is such kind of thing called rain harvesting. You can Google it and read in detail. But it was later that I know, because I was so-called fooled by her. And so I have no words to reply her. I said, we are able to make rain. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. But then I discover, you don't harvest rain just like that. They fire some of this, I don't know what it contains, some kind of a chemical, up into the cloud to harvest rain, to mix with whatever the chemical that will cause the rain. But you see, the condition must be right. What is the condition? There must first of all be rain clouds, you see. But I didn't know that. Oh, you try making rain right now, bright sunshine now, we are very warm, right? Go and get all these expert rain harvester and fire their rocket up and see whether you can create rain. But you see, that's how we are. We are very proud people. We don't need God, you see. We are so smart. We are able to send men to the moon. And right now we are able to, whatever, create or make this space station and man can live out in the space. And so we think that we have control. But here you see that unless God speaks to the clouds, and the clouds shall speak to the earth, and the earth will not speak to the corn, and the corn will not make us speak the words of rejoicing, no way. You see, every husbandman is aware of this, and every Christian must therefore remember, I am to wait as a sufferer. It is in the word of God. God has not promised to immediately deliver us from suffering, from affliction. And as I said before, many of our suffering, let's be very honest about it, is our own doing. Why? Impatient. Make the wrong decision. Did not seek the Lord's will. You see, and we get our fingers burned because of our own fault. We are not suffering because of the gospel. Oh, because I'm a believer right now, I lost my job because my boss decided that, oh, I don't want a Christian to be in my company, so remove him or her. No. Are we? Not at least in this land, or in my home country, Singapore, we still have this freedom of worship and to choose what we believe. But you see, I am to wait. As a Christian believer, it is God's will that He will not immediately deliver us, as we see in that verse in Isaiah, when thou goest through the fire, you see. And many people has misread the whole verse. Did not God promise me that He will, when I go through the fire, He will deliver me? Look at that verse, and when you go through. He did not, the words did not say, when you are about to go through, I will pluck you out. No suffering. No, you go through it. Whether be it fire or water, I will be with you, beside you. You go through it. Nowhere in the scripture did the Bible or God promise us to immediately deliver you or to deliver you at all. There are times, yes, according to the pleasure, the good pleasure of His will, God decides to immediately relieve you. Sure, there are. But that is not across the board. There are times where God wants you to go through that fire, that water, for your good, for the glory of His name. And so I must wait and follow the example of this farmer, wait with my eye heavenward. For all the ploughing of affliction will not profit me, and all the sowing of the meditation of God's word will not profit me, unless God send His gracious Holy Spirit like showers of heavenly rain. If I'm a worker, I must work. When I wait, I must wait always looking upward. The keys of the rain clouds which water the earth hang at the arm of Jehovah. None but the Eternal Father can send the Holy Spirit like showers
upon the church, upon the people of God. He can send the Comforter, and my labor will prosper. It will not be in vain in the Lord. But if he deny it, if God decides to withhold his covenant blessing, then my work, my ministry, your work, your ministry, your labor in the Lord is useless. Patience is worthless, and all the cost put into it is fruitless. It is in vain. In spiritual as well as in temporal things, it is vain for you, for us, to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. Psalm 127 verse 2. Except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that built it. Psalm 127 verse 1. The word to eat the bread of sorrow, referring to your food earned by very strenuous work, very, very laborious work. Therefore, brethren, let us wait with our eyes upward in prayers, or else our expectation will perish. So with regard to our joy, to our comfort and consolation in Christ, the ultimate fruit of our faith, we must have, as Christian believers, eye upward, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. For the day of his appearing will be the day of our manifestation. The day of his appearing to receive us, to be with him, means the day of our rest. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more all this toil and this misery of living this life in this sin-drenched world. Our life is hid with Christ now. When he shall appear, we shall appear with him. When he shall be revealed in glory before the eyes of the assembled multitudes, we shall be conspicuous in glory too. Not till then, brethren, not till then, shall the fullness of the reward be bestowed. But the risen saints shall be glorified in the glorification of their coming Lord Jesus. Let us seek for more of this living for Christ with our eyes upward in prayer and less minding of the earthly things, and more looking for and hasting unto the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God. 2 Peter 3:12. And then note also in our text that while the husbandman waits with his eyes upward, observe carefully, he works with his hands. He waits with his hand at work. And we know this from the farmer. The farmer does not just sow the seed, water or plow first, sow, and then sit down and relax and wait for the fruits. There are plenty of work to be done, isn't it? He has to engage in restless toil. He sows, after that he watches over its growth. When he sees the green blade, what's next? He continues to work. Those weeds must not be allowed to outgrow the wheat and choke it. And so what does he do? He to and fro will go up the field, and the farmer must be at the expense of this, make that effort to check, to do the weeding. And all along the wheat is ripened, to wait for the wheat to be ripened and to make sure that he has the fruit. And so his eyes must be keen, and his skill must be exercised. No laziness, no drudgery, no procrastination. In all labor there is profit, but nothing is gained without pains. That's what it is for us in this world. Yes, we look up to God, but at the same time, we must fulfill human responsibility. We have no control over the rain, no control over the weather, but we have our part to do. God will not accept the look of a sluggard or the lazy. The eye that looks up to God must be attended with the hand that is ready for work. And so, if I suffer, if I am afflicted and expect the blessing for the suffering or for the affliction, I must then do what? Just sit and wait? No, I must spend time in private devotion, seeking, searching, to discern the will of the Lord, to know the mind of God, seeking Him in prayer, searching God's word for His blessing, for His encouragement, so that I can persevere and go on. If I am a servant in the Lord's vineyard, I must look to God for the result. But then I must also use all the means that He has provided. In fact, the Christian should work as if all depended upon Him, and pray as if it all depended upon God. Sure, He cannot hasten the time of the harvest, but He does not wait in silence, or in idleness, or in sluggishness, or in neglect. He keeps to His word and waits too. So do you, Christian, wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but let it be with your lambs trim, ready, burning bright, like the wise virgin in Matthew 25:7. And as faithful servants of the Lord, fulfilling all your God-given role and responsibilities and duties until the master of the house return to give you the reward. Very quickly, I want to move on. What does the husband wait for? So far, we have considered the husband wait and become to us a model of patience. We come now to this second question. What does the husbandman wait for? He waits for result, for real result, for the right result. He hopes also rich result. Is it not true? And it is just what we believers are waiting for. Waiting as sufferers for the result of sanctified affliction, so that we can be more Christ-like, or to pray, or to work towards the Holy Spirit forming Christ in us. And may those results be real. Might they be right? Or rather, may they be right, may they be rich, that we might have every virtue, Christian virtue, strengthened, every grace refined by passing through the furnace. There are great blessings contented or connected with patient endurance, as we see in the case of Job. He had a plenteous harvest. If you read the last chapter, how the Lord rewarded him for his patient suffering. And we have the same. And for those laboring in the work of the gospel, whether as ministers or as you go about sharing the gospel with others, or as Sunday school teachers or Bible study leaders, you must work for result. For though conversion is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, it is in many cases as clearly a product of the holy living, of your life, of the devout teaching, and the fervent praying of His servants, of the Sunday school teachers, of the preachers, of the pastors, as any collect can be the result from a cause. Go on, therefore, may you have real conversion, not pretended conversion, not such as are sometimes chronicled in the newspapers or in mission reports from the field. May there be real convictions, true Christian believers, and ripe fruits for Jesus in the spiritual growth and advance of those who are converted. And may many of them turn out to be such fruit-bearing Christians when they are matured in grace, that the richest result in the prosperity of the church may come to you for all your heart labor. You are waiting for result, and you are also, brethren, like the husbandman, waiting for a reward. All the while, till the harvest comes, he has nothing but outlay. He has to make the sacrifices. He has to buy the seed. And he has to sow the seed. Or in business term, we say you have to raise that capital before. I mean, you have to raise that capital, the outlay in business. So it is also for the Christian. From the moment he sows, it is all outgoing until he sells his crops. And then recovering at once the principal and the interest. And he gets his reward. However, as believers in Christ, we are not to look for reward per se, especially to look for reward in this world, to look for recompense in this world. We as Christian believers, if you look for reward now, here in this life, you will be very, very disappointed. You may have a grateful acknowledgement in the peace and quiet and contentment of your own spirit, of your own heart, but do not expect even that from your fellow man, and even from fellow Christians. The pure motive of any man who serves his generation well is generally misrepresented. As a general rule, any idle person looks on at the laborer, not to praise him, but to blame him. Not to encourage him, but to chide him or criticize him. The worker who does less, the less he will be open to rebuke. And the more he does, oftentimes, and the more vigorously, the more he shall be criticized. So, Christian, look not for your rewards here. Do not be discouraged when your good works for the Lord is not appreciated and is criticized. Never mind. It's okay. God knows. Our reward is the approbation or the approval of God, which He will give to us in abundant grace. He first gives us good work and then rewards us for those good works as if they were altogether our own. He gives reward, though they are not a debt, but altogether of grace. Look for the reward hereafter. Wait a little bit. Wait a little bit longer. Your reward is near. Wait till the next week or till the week is over, and then shall come the wage. Wait until the sun is gone down, and there will be penny for every laborer in the vineyard. Not yet, not yet. The husbandman waits for the precious fruits of the earth, and so it is for us, the believers in Christ. They wait for what? For the coming of the Lord, their Redeemer. Are you, brethren, looking forward to the second coming or appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to meet your God, your Creator? Now I shall just skip the third and go on to the fourth. What are the benefits of patience? What are the benefits of patience? And so to patiently wait God's appointed time is our business, is our duty. We are commanded to do so. And I have shown you how we are to wait. But note this very carefully. Whatever benefits there may be in patience, it is very clear that there is none in the opposite, in being impatient. There is no reward or no benefit for being impatient. Whatever happened to you, there is nothing that can happen to you worse than your being impatient. For all the troubles in the world, an impatient spirit is about the worst. Let us get rid of impatience, which made Cain kill his brother. And impatience has done a lot of mischievous things since. I do not know whether I observed this here, living in this country or in this part of London. And wherever I go, this is I think is a very bad habit of the local here. They will not wait for the green light to turn on, the man green light and cross. They will just look and then, you know. I think many of them may have this idea or this attitude. If he or she, this driver, knocks me, he gets sued. I will get compensation from him. My right. He has to give way to me first, regardless of whether it is time for me to cross. But you see, my dear friends, you have forgotten one thing. The insurance company does not pay you for your medical or whatever just like that. They are going to investigate. And that guy is going to, who knocks you down, is going to argue that you have crossed the road before the green man turns on. And you see, the other thing is that, yeah, sure, you can, even if the guy is wrong and you get paid by the insurance, who suffer? You already ended in the hospital. Perhaps with one leg broken, perhaps even worse scenario, sit on the wheelchair for the rest of your life. So what? You can have all that money from the insurance that pay to you. And this guy has to go to jail. Okay, he goes to jail. 3 months, 6 months, whatever. But you, for the rest of your life, because of your impatience, you cross the road thinking that, you know, you are the king. I have my rights. You see, sometimes, isn't it not true that impatience created so much troubles for us? In the drivers also, just one impatient act. You knock the person down, or you kill the person, or, I mean, if you kill the person, well, the family suffered for a time. But if the person ends up on the wheelchair, rest of the time, the whole family has to get involved to care for him or her for the rest of, on wheelchair. What are you going to do? You feel good about it? One impatient act. All it takes. And so, brethren, for us, the Christian, may the Lord grant us grace to be like this husbandman, patiently watch and wait. But the benefits of patience are too many for me to mention here. So I just say that the benefit, or one of the benefits of patience, is that it saves us from great discouragement. If I expect that God will bless my labor, bless my work to a large extent the first month, and so restrain from every, so I stop, I relax, then my spirit begins to flag. And the blessing does not come at the time I look for. I will be disheartened, isn't it? But if I expect some result at God's timing, a great result in God's appointed week of harvest, even though I may not count on seeing it myself at once, what do? I have in this spirit of expectation, knowing that the Lord will reward, and He will reward according to His appointed time. And therefore, it will revive my spirit. It will renew my strength. It will encourage me to go on. Surely, a farmer would give up his farm in sure despair if he expects a harvest immediately. He would be month after month in a very sad state if waiting to see were not a condition, for he was thoroughly prepared. Therefore, learn from the patient farmer. Expect to wait for the glory of God. Expect to wait for the reward which God has promised you. And while you are waiting on the Lord for your daily provision, be sure it will be supplied. And your waters will be sure. And you shall often have enough. And you will thank God and praise Him. When we patient, it keeps us in a good heart for service. A man to whom it is given to wait for a reward keeps up his courage, and God shall give the grace to fight on and wrestle till the victory shall come.
And patience also, another benefit, is to save us from a great deal of haste and folly. And one of the examples which I just mentioned in our daily life, people who are impatient and it costs them their life, or it costs them their limb. A hasty man is never a wise man. He is wise that halts a little and ponders his way, especially when adversity crosses his path. Whenever you are about to do anything in a rush, in great hurry, brethren, take a pause, take a rest, take five, take ten, pause, but don't pause and just pause. Pause and pray. The hot fever in your whole system will feed you to act discreetly. While you wait for a more healthy temperature of your own feelings, there may be a great change in the thermometer outside on as to the circumstances that influence you. Great haste makes little speed. Great haste makes little speed. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 28 verse 16. And as the promise runs, he shall not, the Christian shall not be confounded when he waits long for the Lord. And above all, one final benefit. Patience is to be commended to you because it glorifies God. To be patient, to be a patient Christian, glorifies God, glorifies our Creator. The man that can wait and wait calmly astonishes the world, the people of the world, because the world wants it now. Whereas the Christian who is able to cultivate that spirit of patient waiting, and he not only waits, he waits calmly. And that surprises many people of the world. He that can wait has faith, and it is faith that marks the true Christian. He that can wait has grace, and it is grace that marks the child of God. Oh, brethren, let us pray that the Lord Jesus will grant to every one of us who are in Christ more and more of this excellent grace of patience, to the praise and glory of his holy name. I must close right now by one word for those who are still outside in Christ, for those who are mere professors of the faith. For the Christian, they are waiting with a reasonable hope. But for you who are outside of the kingdom of Christ, you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. And if you do wait, and if you do think about that subject, what will it be for you? The coming of the Lord means judgment day for you. So therefore, while God has given you the time, and before he comes again the second time to judge this world, consider it very carefully. Are you in Christ? As I said, the Christian is waiting with great expectation, with joy, like the farmer, waiting for the fruit, waiting for the harvest. But for you who are outside of the kingdom of Christ, who think that you are a Christian when you are not regenerated by the Holy Spirit, I think if you do wait, if you do bother to wait, so to speak, of the Lord, you are waiting in fear. Fear because the Lord is coming in his second coming to judge this sin-cursed world. It will not be by water this time, as we know from Scripture. It will be by fire. Are you prepared? Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank Thee for Your Word of Life. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thy Holy Spirit will bring this lesson upon our hearts, that Your Spirit will impress upon us our time here in this sin-cursed world is short and brief. And so while you, in your mercy, lend us breath, give us life in the remaining days of our pilgrimage, O Lord, give us patience also. Sanctified patience,
to look unto Jesus, and that we may continue to wait with our hands active, serving the Lord, worshipping the Lord, with our eyes heavenward. So help us, we pray, in this new week. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.